Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, when you are judging an object, it is important, whether it be a book or whatever it is, it's important to consider the dimensions that that object has. That way, figuring out what the dimensions are, you can figure out what it's for and what it's all about. Think about dimensions for a moment and objects. There are objects that have just one dimension to them. That's when two points are connected by a line. And what you can tell a little bit of information about a one-dimensional object. What can you tell about a one-dimensional object? Just the length. That's it. That's all you can tell about a one-dimensional object, the length. Now let's jump up to two-dimensional objects. That's a little more dynamic. That's when objects take shapes and forms, squares and circles. In a two-dimensional object, you can tell some more information. Length and also, what's that? Area, okay. Width. I'm just going to put it all together. Width. All right, now let's jump up to three-dimensional objects. Three-dimensional objects are a little more dynamic. They can move. When you go to the movie theater, you see a 3D movie, you walk out and say, wow, that was like real life. Or if you aren't wearing your glasses, you're like, wow, that was very challenging. That hurt my eyes. 3D objects, you can tell three-dimensional objects, you can tell lots of information. You can tell length, width, and depth. There you have it. When looking at an object that's three-dimensional or multi-dimensional, you wouldn't want to judge it just by seeing one dimension of it. It's far more complex and dynamic than just looking at it lengthwise, so to speak. I bring this up because the Bible asks us to think this way. Paul, when he's talking about God's love, says this: comprehend, consider the dimensions of God's love. This is Ephesians 3, verse 21. Consider the length, the depth, the width of God's love. Dear friends, Abraham was a man who lived his life as one who got to experience the many dimensions of God's love. I want you to think of Abraham in a whole new way today. Abraham experienced the many dimensions of God's love. It all started off in Genesis chapter 12 when God calls to Abraham there, calls him from out of nowhere, and the love that God shows Abraham there is, the first dimension is a love of providing. God provides for Abraham. What are the things that he provides? God, his name there in Genesis chapter 12 is Elohim, which means Almighty. English translations won't pick this up. That's what he's called. Elohim, God Almighty, he provides. God provides land for Abraham. He takes him out, Genesis says, and God says, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. That land will be yours. And sure enough, a few chapters later, God provides land for Abraham. It's great. God provides more for Abraham. He says that his name will be blessed and his name will be great. God provides. A few chapters later, what do we have? Abraham's walking around with lots of livestock, gold and silver, Genesis says. It's great. He's been provided for. And he blesses others with that, Genesis says. It says that Abraham gives his gifts to a mysterious king named Melchizedek. Abraham has been provided for. Then God promises a child and descendants. And we fast forward. It takes about 24 years. God's kind of slow on this one. The promises take a while, but God provides. There comes Isaac. Here's the moral of the story. If there's someone in your life that provides for you, shows that dimension of love, you would say that they love me, wouldn't you? In fact, if that's the only thing someone did for you was provide for what you needed, you'd love that somebody. Abraham experiences a deeper dimension, another dimension of God's love. I think it's found here in Genesis chapter 17. And the way that I put together Genesis chapter 17 is that the love that God shows is he supports Abraham. The love goes from providing what he needs to supporting, sustaining what he has. How do we get that here in Genesis 17? This is a text that is described as the covenant of circumcision. Notice that they took out the verses that describe circumcision. I don't know if it's allowed to speak about circumcision in the church because they took out the verses. But that's what this text is about. You see, God was giving his people a sign that they could count on from generation to generation to know that God was with them. It's God's way of supporting his people. In Genesis 17, the name just changed. Abram and Sarah. But here's an advanced Bible study nugget. Hold on to this. God's name changes in Genesis chapter 17. First time in the Bible. It changes from Elohim, Almighty, to El Shaddai. I support is what that means. God supports. Here's the thing. If you have anybody in your life that provides, but then backs it up with a deeper dimension, with supporting, you'd say, man, that person really loves me. And if that's the only thing that a person did for you was to provide and support, you'd be dedicated and you love that person back. Friends, Abraham experiences a deeper dimension of God's love. Hang with me for a second. We're going to get to you in just a second. We read about it last week. God shows a love that is sacrificial to Abraham. We read it last week. God told him to take the walk up to Mount Moriah. For those of you that weren't here, that's a 14-mile walk, 3-day experience. And God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac, the one that he cried for and the one that he had waited so long for. Abraham had to do it all by himself, cut the wood, get the donkey ready, get the 2 servants, take it up to the mountain, put his son Isaac there. Paintings have a knife in one hand with Abraham and a flame in his other hand because he's going to sacrifice his son Isaac. Then he's going to burn him so that he can be a burnt offering to the Lord. And at just the right moment, behind Abraham, there's a ram that God provides. A sacrifice. What Abraham figured out in that moment is that there would be no place in which he would be stuck without a moment in which God would provide a way out, even if it meant providing a sacrifice. So here are the 3 dimensions. 3 dimensions of love. Abraham experiences it. God provides. God supports El Shaddai in Genesis chapter 17. And then finally, Genesis chapter 22, sacrificial love. God provides exactly what is needed for Abraham. The story of Abraham is not about some wily guy out walking around in the desert. See, what I'm painting a picture of you is actually a man who is experiencing the many dimensions of God's love. That's not just a story about Abraham, friends. That's the story for you. Your life is a walk experiencing the many dimensions of God's love. That's what it's about. Have you ever gone to a place and just been awed by how big the dimensions were of where you were visiting? And it just blew your mind away. What's the first thing that comes to mind? You go to a place and it just, wow, the dimensions are so much bigger than what I had thought. What comes to mind for me is Disneyland. I don't know how many of you have been to Disneyland, but has everyone been to Disneyland? Hopefully. It's a great experience. I know Dan and Debbie have been to Disneyland a few times. When you go to Disneyland, a child going for the very first time, it's not that they're surprised by anything. They've gone to the movies, they've seen the castle, that's not a big deal. And it's not as if they don't know the characters and their personalities. They know Donald Duck and what he says and Mickey Mouse. A child is awed and has their mind blown away because of the dimensions of Disneyland. They see Cinderella. Oh my goodness, did you see Cinderella, Mom and Dad? Wow, she was amazing. Oh, did you see the Beast at Disneyland? Boy, he was scary, and he had so much hair on him. Oh, he's scary. It's the dimensions that blows people away. I remember the first time that I went to Disneyland, And I went and I got so enraptured with Pirates of the Caribbean. I spent the first 2 or 3 hours going on that ride over and over again. The pirates were there, treasures, it was great. Finally, my dad said to me, "Jeremy, you know there are other rides at Disneyland." And we went on to Robinson Crusoe, the tree fort, and went through the tree fort, and that took a couple hours. Finally, at the end of the day, it was about a half hour before closing, we looked at the map, and all of a sudden we discovered, we've only seen 50% of the park. Disneyland is about blowing away your idea of the dimensions. It's just absolutely huge. Dear friends, are you overwhelmed by the dimensions of God's love in your life? Key question. Do you feel like Disneyland with the love that God gives to you in your life? Abraham's life in Genesis, it's not exactly like going to Disneyland. It doesn't read that way. But I want you to think about it that way. There aren't characters and rides to go on to. But you see, every nook and cranny that Abraham goes to, he's going around a new corner and seeing a totally different love that God is offering him. Do you have those dimensions? Let's go through them real quick. Has God provided for you? Is that a love that he's poured out on you? I see that you have clothes on. Nobody here is naked. That's good. I see that you drove here in your car. I see that you have relatives. They're sitting next to you. God has provided for you. That's a dimension that you have. Let's go to the next one. Has God supported you in your life? Friends, you have it better than Abraham. Here it is. Abraham got the covenant of circumcision. Luther would call that a shadow of a better promise. And the shadow of a better promise is your baptism. You've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nothing can take that away. Step aside and you can come back in and you're right back in the lane. You are a child of God. You've got it better than Abraham. Love that is sacrificial, do you have that? Friends, you got it better than Abraham. Abraham got a ram that was making weird sounds behind him. You got the Son of God. God gave his one and only Son to die on the cross so that you could have eternal life. Friends, you got a better story than Abraham. That's pretty special. So here's the challenge for us as we live our lives. Here it is, and this is a biblical question. Are we overwhelmed with our troubles and hardships? Or are we living overwhelmed with God's love? Big question. Are we overwhelmed by the hard stuff in our life, or are we overwhelmed by God's love? You know, Abraham could have been overwhelmed by the troubles and hardships. Think of the tough things Abraham experienced. Abraham didn't have children, didn't have an heir. There was nothing worse than that, than to not have an heir, the next in line. Abraham had kind of two wives. That would be very difficult. And a son from each of those wives, Ishmael and Isaac, that's tough. Abraham lost family members in Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Lot and his family died. But Abraham, it's not to sweep aside and act like we don't have hardship. That's not what I'm saying, friends. What I'm saying is this. Yes, we're overwhelmed with hardships and difficulties, but we leave room to be overwhelmed by God's love for us. That's Abraham's story. And it's our story too. As you walk along, look for those dimensions of God's love in play in your life, because it's there. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for that challenge from Paul. Consider the depth, the width, the height of God's love through Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the love that you pour out into us. Help us to see it and to be overwhelmed by it as we walk this week in our lives. May others see us being overwhelmed with that joy just as much as we're overwhelmed with our challenges and hardships, just as Abraham was. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.